Hi, this is Kate from ADHDKidsCanThrive.com, and today I'm with Dr. Carrie, who's a child psychologist that specializes in children with ADHD and learning disorders. In addition to being a child psychologist, she's a speaker, author, and adjunct professor at the University of San Diego. You can also find her online on social media at the.parent.therapist, right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so that's where you can find her and follow her on social media and all the like tricks and tips that she shares with everybody there. Okay, Dr. Carrie, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because your primary focus that I'm familiar with online is really providing parent education for parents who are raising kids with ADHD. And I think that's like the very, very first step that any parent should take when they think or get a proper diagnosis that their child has ADHD. So can you share with us today why parent education is so critical?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on because I love your podcast and all of the tips that you share as well, because I think they help parents a lot with that first step of education. And so I share with parents a lot about the ways they can support their kids with ADHD, because like you said, it is so important and it's actually one of the most effective ways for kids with ADHD to learn new skills and to manage their ADHD themselves. So a lot of the times, like parents, when they come to me, they're like, can you actually help my child? I'm like, well, the way I'm going to do that is through helping you first. So, you know, if you're a parent, like actually working with someone yourself and getting that education to understand your child and to understand what you can do in your communication with them is such an important piece to helping them. I know you feel the same way too, also as a parent.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that when I kind of fell into parent education when my child was first diagnosed, I wasn't really seeking it out, but I fell into somebody who was going to an expert who is going to provide me education, and it completely changed like the trajectory, if you will, of our family life and giving me the confidence and my husband of like what the decisions we needed to make and the changes that we needed to make for school and family. So it's huge. Yeah. It's significant. Okay. So what would be some benefits that a parent would get when they're getting educated by Dr. Carrie? Like what are those benefits? Because
I was just saying, well, you just brought up, I think like one of the biggest ones is it's like, there's a lot to know about parenting kids with ADHD that you wouldn't know if you're just parenting neurotypical kids. Right. So the parenting strategies that you would use just for neurotypical kids, they often don't work as well for kids with ADHD. And so the skills that I give parents are ones that are really found to work for those kids. So a big piece of it is understanding like how the things your child does, they may be a symptom of their ADHD rather than bad behavior or, you know, other concerns like an attitude. So like, it's really putting everything into the frame of mind of this is their ADHD. So, and then taking those challenges that we now know are your kid's ADHD and saying, okay, this is what you can do differently than compared to how you were doing it instead. And I'm sure, you notice like with that education piece, so many things about your parenting style probably changed based on what you then knew about your child's ADHD.
Yes, it had to.
Yeah.
You know, it absolutely, well, if you want to have a good family life, it has to change. So that's why I think it's so important, because if you try to parent the same all the way through, right, things get kind of messy and not very fun. So you have to learn to modify your expectations and that kind of thing. Okay, so you kind of touched about like parenting a child, like learning how to parent a child with ADHD is very different than a typical kid. Right. So talk to us about like some of the strategies.
Yes. So, I mean, one of the biggest things is like ADHD brains are built for rewards. Okay, so like really approaching parenting from a more positive and rewards-based approach is often really, really helpful for kids with ADHD. So I use that with parents as far as like thinking of ways to get kids to do challenging things. Think about, is there a way to incentivize it with the reward? And by a reward, I don't just mean like buying them something new each week. Like,
right.
You know, it could be a reward, like some one-on-one time with a parent, or it could even be like access to screen time. There are tons of different rewards, and those types of strategies are often more helpful for kids with ADHD, but they also need to be done a certain way because like all of these strategies need to be very immediate. Like a lot of the times parents will tell me, well, rewards don't work for my child, you know, we'll have a star chart for them or a sticker chart. And then by the end of the week, you know, they just forget about it and they don't care anymore.
Right.
Right. Which is true because ADHD is all about the here and now. And so if you are a parent of a child with ADHD, making the rewards as immediate as possible is so important. And I know it can be really challenging at times to think of those rewards in the moment, but it is one of the most helpful strategies for kids with ADHD.
Yeah. Okay. So let's give an example of what an immediate, like a tat, let's homework. I feel like school homework is like the biggest battle at home when kids are younger. So like if you wanted your child to get their homework done, you know, at a certain time of day or get it done before they move on to other fun things, like how would you build in like a motivation into completing the homework at a certain time?
Yeah. So I would first start off by breaking up that into like mini tasks. Okay. So like completing homework is a pretty big step for kids with ADHD, but there are tons of steps in there, like coming to the table with your homework books or your laptop. That's one thing, right?
Right.
Then there's probably like maybe doing one worksheet. Let's say a kid has multiple worksheets. And then there's actually finishing it. Those three pieces can all be rewarded. And it's helpful to reward those small pieces along the way to build motivation and to reduce procrastination. So in that moment, what you might do is you might have if it's a young kid, something like a sticker. And then when they get three stickers, they get a bigger reward right after the homework is done.
So they get a sticker for like coming to the table.
Yep. Exactly.
And then a sticker for completing one worksheet.
Yep.
And then maybe another sticker for doing the second worksheet.
Exactly. So those three pieces. And then right after that, they get to exchange those for, let's say, screen time, for example. That's a way to reward them immediately. For a little bit older kids, they can wait a little bit longer and you can reward them for less pieces. So you might just reward them for doing their homework where they have to wait to play video games until their homework is done. That's an immediate reward too.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I think it goes into screen times.
Yes.
Is kind of, it needs to be limited. And you should use it to your advantage as a parent, right? To use it as more motivation and a reward for getting like boring stuff done, right? Because you'll never win the battle.
Homework will never be funner than the screen time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But like you said, like you can use it to your advantage. I mean, I know a lot of parents, they worry about the impact of screen time on kids, but it can actually be used in good ways with appropriate limits set on it. And there is actually a great app that I would recommend for you parents who are looking for setting limits, and it'll help you set those limits automatically. So you don't have to be fighting with your kid when you say it's time to turn off your phone, because they'll turn it off automatically for them and they can earn rewards to earn more screen time.
Oh, so it's
called Smart Cookie, actually. It's great. So they basically, kids will have to complete like simple educational problems to earn additional screen time. But as a parent, you can still set limits on your screen time. So, I mean, for most parents, they're like, it's a win-win because they're doing educational tasks and it's limiting their screen time in a way where you don't have to fight with them. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Great technology option. Is improving greatly.
I know.
Over the last 10 years.
It can be so challenging, but has so many benefits at the same time too, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's finding the balance, right? Especially with an ADHD kid. I think, do you also teach parents like the language that they should be using when they're trying to advocate for their child, especially like at school?
Yes. So advocating as a parent is such a big role because the accommodations, and those are special supports that kids with ADHD can receive at school, really help them be able to excel and succeed in school. And so as a parent, when you're educating yourself on how certain behaviors, they are a result of a child's ADHD, that's something that I have parents share with their child's teacher as a way of their teacher then understanding what their child is like. So for example, like I might talk to parents about how when a child, when they have trouble sitting down in a classroom, they're not being disrespectful. It's actually their ADHD and the impulsivity that makes it difficult for them to stay seated. And then sharing that knowledge with the teacher, you can say, these are some strategies we've done at home that are really helpful, like using wobble chairs or using rewards that might be helpful in the classroom as well. So yeah, that type of language is really helpful.
Yeah. Okay. And then what kind do you help parents learn like the language with like the executive functioning skills that start to show up as a once they hit junior high and high school, like trying to help a teacher understand kind of where those little gaps may be, which would be different for every kid, right? Like where their little issues are showing up or gaps in submitting homework, whatever that little step is, or planning ahead or being shy or what have you. Like,
yeah, I love that you use the language of executive functioning because I often talk to parents about the executive functioning skills. Like, ADHD, it's not really a deficit of attention, although the name says it is, you know, it's just that kids can't regulate their attention. And it's actually a disorder of executive functioning skills, like the ones you mentioned. And so framing that as the planning, the self-awareness, the organizational pieces, those are all executive functioning skills. And that helps parents really understand their child more. And I think teachers understand them more, and it can help them notice the ways that a child might have challenges at home or at school too.
Right. Okay. So do you recommend parents advocate for their kid in advance of the school year?
Yeah. Like, so I do take a proactive approach, but I will say I understand why parents want to wait because there are concerns with parents that maybe a teacher will then view their child as differently now that they have that knowledge of ADHD. But to me, I see the knowledge that your teacher can have when they know your child has ADHD is that they can help provide some of those accommodations and support in a proactive way and give them that earlier intervention at school so that we can prevent challenges from occurring. And so to me, I think it's really, really helpful to just take that proactive approach, set up a meeting with your child's teacher, just the first few weeks of school, let them know about your child's ADHD. And like I was saying earlier, share with them some strategies you found have been effective for them.
Right.
Yeah.
And that I like how you use challenges instead of crises.
Yeah.
They are challenges. Yeah. And the goal is to try to not make it into like a huge explosion, which leads me into my next question is all about emotional regulation with kids with ADHD. Does every child with ADHD struggle with regulating their emotions?
So overall, yes, but it may be less apparent on some kids than others.
Okay.
So the challenges with emotion regulation, they fall into a few different areas. So kids with ADHD, they react more strongly, both positively and negatively to things. So your child gets super excited when they're going to Disney World for the day. And then they also throw a 45-minute tantrum when you change your plans to go to the park in the afternoon. Those emotions not fitting the facts are very consistent with an ADHD diagnosis. And also the trouble with regulating their emotions. So that means like teaching them the skills to calm down is often much harder for those kids. And it's pretty much across the board, kids with ADHD have those challenges at one point or another throughout their life.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So in their parent education, give a few examples of what parents would learn.
Yeah.
Help. And I know there's going to be parents listening going, give me a tip to help my kid regulate themselves.
Oh, I can do that. Absolutely. But I will start with like the biggest thing as a parent to do is to understand the patterns of your child's emotion regulation difficulties. Most parents tell me, I cannot figure out what it is. It's like the smallest thing will set them off. But typically it falls into a few categories. So like setting a limit, for example, or telling your child no to something can often set things off. Social situations, that's another category. Changes in routine or transitions, those are another huge category as well. So see if you can match what your child is experiencing into those three different areas. If it's limit setting that your child is mainly having issues with, one of the most important things you can do is to be consistent with the limits you set. And so like if your child's pushing back at you, they might be having more emotion regulation challenges because they don't like the limit you set. And so they want to push you and hope that it will change. But then also for things like transitions, coming up with ways to prepare for those transitions in advance so that you can prevent any meltdowns that might happen with some transitioning. So like the screen time example, transitioning off of screen time into homework, really difficult. So one strategy might be to switch that transition around so that you do the homework and have the screen time as a reward.
Yes.
Yeah.
I highly recommend. Okay. And then what do you do with the kid who doesn't like it when you say no to something? And they, you know, it becomes this emotional thing. So it's very emotional for the parents because they're getting so emotional. So how do you?
Yeah, a lot. So I will say that like a lot of the work is on preventing this stuff from happening by as a parent choosing like what your non-negotiables are. So like saying to yourself, is this something that I really need to tell my child to do right now? Or is there another way that I can get them to do this without telling them to do it? So like, can you make it into a game? Can you incorporate a reward? Because in general, those types of strategies, we know that kids react less emotionally to them than they do with consequences. So always go towards the rewards-based prevention strategies and use consequences selectively to avoid some of those meltdowns around setting limits.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's also hard in the moment. Yeah.
It's hard. But I would say probably getting parent education and a support group through that parent educator. Yes.
Yeah. It's confidence building like for the parents, like when I work with them. And it is really that mindset shift, like you said. I mean, because a lot of the times parents, they go towards consequences, even though they know kids have more emotional reactions because you're frustrated in the moment when your child isn't doing what you want them to do.
Right.
So part of that is really like the mindset shift for parents where it's like, okay, yes, I am frustrated. So a consequence is what I want to do. But at the same time, I know that's not going to give me the results of what I want to do. So let me actually switch that around to a reward. Because anything that's a consequence, you can make into a reward pretty easily. But so when I work with parents, I do focus a lot on those mindset shifts and those things that we can change to help parents get what they want. And so that it's more harmonious as a family in general.
Yeah. Okay. So Dr. Carey, just following you, I did pick up along the way that you yourself have ADHD, which I love do. Because I think professionals who have ADHD are just much more compassionate and understanding and relate, they can relate. Mm-hmm. Nothing against professionals who don't have ADHD, but those who do, it just seems a little bit more relatable when you're speaking to them. And I think people who follow you and who listen to this podcast like to hear from people who have grown up with it, right? How did you do it, right? And what works for you? So what are your words of wisdom around a person who personally has had to learn how to grow up and be very successful and is giving back to the community in which you understand? Like, how did that happen? What worked for you and is still working for you?
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the biggest things that I've learned is that, like, the strategies that worked for me at one point in my life always needed to be changed throughout my life. And in working with parents with ADHD, kids with ADHD, a common thing I hear is, like, something works for a little bit of time and then it stops working. I agree with you. That's the case for me also, but it's really about finding ways to make it more helpful. So for example, like emotions and ADHD is something definitely like I have struggled with, some strong emotional reactions. And like people with ADHD tend to have like different thinking styles where they might be more black and white. So for myself, it's really important when I notice my thoughts and when I catch them early on, then I can kind of stop the process so I don't go down like an ADHD emotional spiral. So just noticing my thoughts is a strategy that's helped me throughout with my emotions at different times. That's
definitely... So how old were you when you were more aware of your emotions?
I was not aware of them, I think, really until like college age.
Yeah, okay. Like, it takes time, right? Yeah.
Yes. And as a child, like I was a very emotionally dysregulated child. And it's funny because like a lot of people, when they like meet me today and they learn that I was like that as a child, they're like, you do not seem like you were like that at all. But I mean, I remember as a kid, like breaking my parents' banister one time because I was so emotionally dysregulated because of my ADHD. It was difficult for me. And so like for the parents who are going through it, it's like, I understand like what your child is going through. And also like as a parent now, like I can think, I'm not a parent myself right now, but I can look back on that moment. And I just remember like that emotional feeling I had and how difficult it was to manage in the moment.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you're so calm and measured now. I would have never guessed that either, but it does bring hope, right?
Yes.
That it, the arc, this is long mm-hmm. for ADHD kids. It's a little bit longer than like a typical kid. So
yeah,
you just have to be patient and keep trying new strategies, evolving mm-hmm. your strategies, right? To help keep your child on a positive track, right? And that they do grow up to find
evolving
a good life. Yes. And so I think the last piece is like, you know, it is more bumpy than it is a typical child. And like, how do you preserve their self-esteem? How do you make sure they grow up with all this emotional dysregulation, these things, and grow up and find their way in the world to have a good life, you know, to have like a happy heart?
So I definitely recommend like finding some mastery activities for kids with ADHD. And so these are things that like could be a sport, it could be art, something that they can feel good about. That is like something they are doing where it's slightly challenging at times, you know, like learning a new instrument. And that challenge is often very helpful for building self-esteem in kids. It might also change what that mastery activity is, and that's okay. So for example, like when I was a kid, I did dance and then I did tennis. I also played an instrument and like I did each of them for various amounts of time, which is common for people with ADHD. And like tennis was the one that I really fell in love with and like I kept doing. And so like finding those pieces, they can really help with building self-esteem in kids along the way and just throughout, like even as an adult, having those types of activities.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's trying to find things outside of school, right? Yes. I mean, you could do the sport or the band, but mm-hmm. it's finding the art, whatever, but it's finding something that isn't necessarily like academic, unless your child is really into science or math, maybe that's their thing, then that helps build their self-esteem. But if it isn't always so much like what's going on in the classroom, it's to look outside. Like, I like the tennis. That's good. Physical.
Physical activity is really movement. Good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just finding like varied interests so that your self-esteem is not built on just one aspect of your personality, which is what I love what you said about like outside of school, because school is such a hard, or it's such a big piece about kids, their life, that you want to find pieces outside of it so that if they have a bad day at school, their self-esteem isn't, you know, ruined for that day because of that bad day at school. So they have other pieces. Yes. After high school too, I do activities now. Like I don't really play tennis anymore, but I do like a lot of physical activities that still give me that sense of mastery, like hiking. I think that's a great one that I love to do. And it gives me physical activity and also like the challenge that I like of doing something physical.
Okay. So you make sure you're keeping a balance.
Oh yeah.
And doing all the things. You're very good. Okay. So do you have anything else to share that we haven't touched on?
So I think a big thing is just like, it does get better. You know, there are times where it feels really, really hard, but it will get better for parents of kids with ADHD, if you're listening, or for just kids with ADHD, it does get better. And so when you're having those difficult moments, telling yourself like, okay, this is my child's ADHD journey right now, but this is also them learning skills to regulate themselves and I'm supporting them in it, can help you through those tough times.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. Okay, yeah. So Dr. Carey, you're down in lovely, beautiful San Diego. Lucky duck.
Yes.
Okay, so are you available for anybody who lives anywhere? I mean, the internet is global. So can you?
Yes. So the internet is, I mean, I love the internet now that we've had so many amazing connections. It's how I met you too.
Yeah.
But so I have a group for parents that's available to anyone like in the US or outside of the US too. I've had people in Canada, Peru, kind of all over. And then I also do ADHD evaluations and therapy for California residents. So,
that's so good to know. I did not know that. Okay.
Yep. All for California.
So if you live in California and you're going, how do I get a diagnosis? Or where do I go? I get that question a lot just from my own community. Like where do I go? You can do that.
I can do that too.
Diagnose kids. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's definitely one strategy. And if you're outside of California, I know other providers, I would be happy to share their information with you. So I know some other great providers too, who could do that diagnosis, but yeah, I do see adults and kids and teenagers for ADHD evaluations. And for many of them, they can be done completely virtually.
Yeah. Okay. That's great to know. That's a hot tip, Dr. Carey. People are always looking for resources. Like, where do I go? Where do I go for diagnosis? Where do I go for somebody to give me parent training skills? Okay. So that's good. No matter where you live, you can see Dr. Carey for training, but not for diagnosis. Okay, so that's great to know. Okay, good. Well, it was so nice talking to you today.
It was so nice talking to you too. Thank you so much. I love all the information you're sharing on your podcast, and like for the parents out there, I really appreciate you guys getting to know me more too. And it's been great to share some information with y'all as well.
Yeah, great. Thank you.